brother. What's up?
This is a good recording, man.
Yeah, brother, dig it. Stop right on.
All right, good morning and welcome to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. And I'm so excited once again to have on the line Wisconsin State Attorney General, Mr. Josh Call. How are you doing, sir? Thank you very much for taking time out of your very busy schedule to spend with us this morning.
Thanks for having me back in the program, Earl.
Let's just have at it. Your thoughts about what is earth-shattering news that is changing the dynamic of people's lives. What was your thought? I mean, everybody knew it was coming, but what is your thought after this took place, the overturning of Roe versus Wade?
Well, to the point you were just making, this is one of those situations where it's kind of shocking but not surprising. We're pretty confident this was coming, but to actually have it happen is really remarkable. And the bottom line is that women in Wisconsin are now less free, less equal, and less safe than they were before Friday morning of last week. And that's just not acceptable. And I'm going to fight, and I know the governor's going to fight, to do what we can to minimize the harm from this decision and to work to restore reproductive freedom for women in Wisconsin.
You know, what do you say, those on the right who constantly talk about freedoms and having the right and the government not interfering in their lives, and you'll constantly hear them equate that to what's in the Constitution? How far on the other side of right are they?
Well, those comments ring pretty hollow right now, I would say. This is putting politicians in charge of reproductive health care decisions that women make day in and day out around the state and around the country. You know, and just to give you one example of how this is already playing out, our office has started to hear from questions from sexual assault nurse examiners, the nurses who conduct forensic examinations for sexual assault victims. And they're asking us questions like, what about emergency contraception? Is there any exception under this old ban for cases of rape and incest? Those are the kinds of awful questions that that sexual assault victims are confronting and are going to have to be confronting because of this new situation we're in. And to me, that is just not at all consistent with the concept we have of a free society, which is what this country is all about. And it's because of conservative politicians and the justices they've appointed that we now have this huge infringement on people's liberty.
You know, Attorney General Call, I think a lot of this is, I've read a lot of different excerpts from people who say, well, you know, people who have been raped and wind up pregnant, that's really a very small percentage of people that we're talking about. And I think that really people don't have any idea of just how large a number that really is, because it's not really publicized. But many people who may not give it thought, but the rapes that go on in our society, the sheer numbers of them, we don't ever get to hear it. So this is a real issue, even though they want to minimize it.
Yeah, absolutely. We have worked throughout my administration to strengthen Wisconsin's response to sexual assault. We had thousands of untested sexual assault kits that were identified a number of years ago. And this is one of the most traumatic events, and for most people, the most traumatic event they will ever go through. And then to pile on top of that, that the possibility of being forced to carry an unwanted pregnancy to term is just awful and just compounds the trauma that people are facing. And that's one of the many problems with this law. But there also are serious consequences for women's health that result from this. There are people who have ectopic pregnancies that could put their lives in danger. There are people who become pregnant who have cancer, who to have chemotherapy performed can't do that if they're pregnant in certain stages of pregnancy. And, you know, this is going to impact women's freedom to decide what's best for them and their families in cases all throughout the state. And it's just a huge step in the wrong direction with respect to freedom, equality, and the health of women in Wisconsin.
So what do you say to those on the other side of this who say, what are you guys talking about? We've turned this over to states. It's not that we have taken away the rights of women. The states will determine what happens there.
Well, first, this is a fundamental right that I think is protected by our Constitution, and justices who appointed by both Democrats and Republicans have thought that for decades. So this is really a radical reinterpretation of the U.S. Constitution. But on top of that, in Wisconsin, this hasn't really been sent back to the states. It's been sent back to the 19th century. And what I mean when I say that is, you know, the legislature hasn't come into session to pass a new law since the Dobbs decision came down. Instead, the argument is that this ban from the mid-1800s, it all of a sudden goes back into effect. It contains no exceptions for rape or incest or to protect the health of the mother. It contains only very limited exceptions. And that's a law that was passed before women had the right to vote. It was passed before the Civil War. There's not anybody alive today who was around when this law was passed. And so, you know, what we are arguing in this suit that the governor and I have filed is that that law doesn't spring back into effect, that there were laws passed later on that have impliedly repealed that old law. And if the legislature thinks that there should be a broad ban like this, they should come into session and vote on it. But I'm confident they're not going to do that.
So why would they not come in and do it? The chances of them succeeding and winning this lawsuit, and I'm far be it from me to try to interpret the law and how it is dealt with, would say that almost any judge is going to say, hey, why are we dealing with the law from the 1840s? We can't support that. I mean, what are the chances and the likelihood that a judge is going to side with going back to something from the 1800s?
You know, it's always hard to predict how cases are going to come out in court. I feel good about the arguments we've made about the old law being repealed by implication, and we're really in uncharted waters right now, because having a situation where a law has been unenforceable for 50 years all of a sudden potentially spring back to life isn't something we've dealt with. Having rights taken away from Americans is really not normal, and how that's going to play out in the courts, you know, remains to be seen. The reason the legislators, I think, don't want to come in and pick this up is because they know that this is not supported by Wisconsinites. This is toxic for them politically, and you know, they're going to try to hide behind this 19th century ban. And so that's why when people say this is going back to the states, it rings so hollow, because legislators don't actually want to stand behind this kind of ban. They're just hoping that the old ban goes into effect so that we're bound by a law that was passed in the mid-1800s.
So if you are just joining us, on the line is State Attorney General Josh Call. Attorney General Call, states and attorney generals across the nation are organizing and looking to find a way and suing. Does it matter who determines what court it goes before, what judge it goes before? Does that really matter? Because we know there are some judges that are certainly slanted to the right, some are slanted to the left. Does that really matter? And who determines where it goes?
Yeah, it certainly can. You know, I mean, one of the reasons we are where we are today is because there has been a systematic effort from some conservative groups to put justices on the Supreme Court who they were very confident would vote to overturn Roe versus Wade. And we are now living with the effects of that. And that was an effort that stretched over decades, really. And so who judges are, who justices are, absolutely matters. That doesn't mean, though, that there aren't basic principles and that the rule of law doesn't still have effect. And so we're arguing that if you apply normal statutory principles in Wisconsin to the statutes that we have, that old law shouldn't come into effect. And how judges will rule on that remains to be seen. What I can say is that these cases are going to play out primarily in state courts, because the U.S. Supreme Court has ruled that there's no a constitutional protection for access to safe and legal abortion. So there may be challenges on other issues in the federal courts, but on that core issue, that's going to be decided state by state right now in the state courts and then potentially in state legislatures
so,
as well.
So what I'm saying is I was watching Donald Trump when he was president and Republicans constantly talking about the fact that district courts, were all of these different Republican justices that they put in those positions, even at the state level sometimes, though, who determines what courts, judges they go before? This is going to go before.
It depends on where the suit is filed. So the case that Governor Evers and I filed just a couple days ago challenging the enforceability of this old ban, we filed that case in Dane County Circuit Court. So that will be decided in the first instance by a judge in Dane County. In all likelihood, in fact, almost certainly, it's going to get appealed. So it could go to one of the courts of appeals. But, you know, given the significance of the issue, it's certainly my expectation that this is going to end up before our state Supreme Court, and they will ultimately make a decision about whether this old ban is going into effect or not.
So help us understand, those of us who are ordinary citizens, we know that none of these things are going to happen overnight. This is going to be a Pier 6 brawl that is going to take, I don't know, could it take years to be decided on a state level?
So the case that we filed a couple days ago, it's my hope that we're going to see that play out relatively quickly. And now that's by court case standards, and that's it relatively quickly by court case standards is not relatively quickly by normal standards.
Right.
But it's my hope that we'll be able to get a decision from the circuit court in Dane County within a matter of months, because the issues that we're raising here, you know, some cases there's a lot of disputes about the facts and who did what when. That's not this kind of case. This is really about what the law is, and that usually makes the cases go a bit faster. And so it's my hope that we'll get a decision from the circuit court within months, but then, you know, there's the appeals process that plays out. And, you know, this may very well not be the only challenge to the statute. There may be others as well. And so, you know, we're likely going to have a fair amount of litigation ahead of us. In the meantime, though, if the legislature can address this very quickly, they can come into session and repeal this 19th century ban. And I'm confident that I know for sure that the governor would sign that. So if Republicans in the legislature step up and come into session, we can address this problem quickly. But so far, they haven't been willing to do that.
So in the interim, you and the John Chisholm, the district attorney of the city, and I don't know if other DAs across the state have stated that you are not going to enforce that law from the 1800s. And so let's talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, you know, we're basically moving forward on a couple different avenues. We're trying to restore reproductive freedom in Wisconsin. So we brought this lawsuit. We're calling on the legislature to take action. But in the meantime, we're also trying to minimize the harm that's going to come from this decision overturning Roe versus Wade. You know, Planned Parenthood's in Wisconsin shut down when the Dobbs decision came down. They've said that as long as that ban is on the books and might be enforceable, you know, we're not going to take the risk that doctors are going to get prosecuted under it. And so they have currently stopped providing services. But I've been clear, D.A. Chisholm has been clear, D.A. Ozanne in Dane County has been clear, that we're not going to use the resources of our office to investigate or prosecute cases under this 19th century ban. And for me, you know, there are a couple reasons for that. One is enforcing this ban would actually harm the health and safety of women in Wisconsin. It would undermine public safety as well as undermining freedom and equality. And that's just not something we do at the Department of Justice. But on top of that, even if you're somebody who supports this kind of ban, we've all got limited resources. And my view is that we should be using those resources to investigate and prosecute people for the most serious crimes that are out there, which is what we do now. Cases like homicides or drug trafficking or sexual assault. And to shift resources from those areas to investigating and prosecuting abortions would be a serious misuse of investigative and prosecutorial resources.
So what risk do you and the DA and DA Chisholm and the DA in Dane County, is there any risk to you? Is there anyone who can override what it is, the decisions that you guys have made?
Well, you know, what could happen is you could have a different DA or a different attorney general at some point decide to act differently. And that's one of the things that Planned Parenthood has cited in stopping providing services is, you know, there's a statute of limitations that I believe is 6 years. And so, you know, they could be charged years down the road, potentially.
No, I mean, as of now in real time, what are the challenges you guys face while you're in office today? Is there any challenges you guys face other than political blowback?
Yeah, and certainly people have criticized us. There are some, you know, candidates out there who I know have talked about trying to remove DAs from office for not in prosecuting cases under those laws. But my view is that those claims are really just nonsense. We have prosecutors have discretion in how they use their resources, and they exercise that discretion in lots of different ways every day. And you know, using it in this way is absolutely valid. And I'm glad to see DA Chisholm and DA Ozan doing that. And I hope other DAs around the state will make similar commitments.
You know, just to the thought of, instead of having the stability of knowing what the rules are and what takes place, to now having it scattershot all over the nation, and you think about, well, now, you know, Minnesota, Illinois, people are going to be heading over the borders, and, you know, to have these things done, it can't be good for the nation to go from a stable reality when it comes to this to now scattershot all over the nation, can it?
No, that's right. We're going to have very inconsistent laws state by state, and, you know, Illinois is setting up to be, as they call it, an oasis, I think, for people who need to get reproductive health care. And that's great if you're somebody who has time to get there and has
and
the
resources
means to do that.
And yeah, right.
Exactly. But there are also cases where, first of all, people may not be able to get transportation they need, but there are also emergency cases. And one of the things I want to stress, and this gets lost, I think, in this debate sometimes, is this is really anti-family. And what I mean by that is that a very large percentage of people who get abortions are themselves already parents. And people who are parents get abortions for a lot of different reasons. But one is that their health and even their life could be in danger. And we are going to have really negative health consequences. And in some cases, people are going to lose their lives because of this ban. And that is horrific for the women who are suffering because of that. It's also horrific for their kids who are left without a parent. And that's the kind of situation we've created by having such a rigid ban in place. And the more that we can do to minimize the impacts of that ban and hopefully to reverse it, you know, the more we're going to do to protect the health and safety of women in Wisconsin.
So what do you say to the other side of this debate or issue, if you will, that, you know, I've heard people say, well, women are using abortion instead of contraceptives. And so who can support that? What is your take on that?
Well, first, there are a lot of things I would say. First, I would suggest that people actually talk to women who have accessed reproductive health care, that they talk to doctors, OBGYNs, because everybody has their own life circumstances, and whether it's because of a health issue or any number of other issues, these are not decisions that people make lightly. And more to the point, that's just not the government's business. Women should be able to control the future of their lives. It shouldn't be politicians in Madison or Washington deciding how they're going to live their lives and when and whether they have kids. I firmly believe that those are decisions that need to be made by women and not by the government.
We've got a call quickly. You want to take it?
Sure.
All right. Tom from LA. Tom, go ahead quickly.
Yeah. Good morning, Josh. First off, we the people are the government. And we must never forget that. Second, I believe that the Republicans are the pro-death party. Josh, I wanted to say, and I wanted to congratulate you or comment on what you're saying. This needs to be framed not as a abortion issue or a termination issue. This needs to be framed as a woman's right to choose versus the government's right to choose. And you've got it right, and people fall into this whole thing because 90% of women choose actually to carry a child to full term. And we get mixed up with the media. We get mixed up with everyone calling it the abortion issue. It's not the abortion issue. It is the choice issue. And if you take that choice away from women, then you got a bunch of other people. First of all, you make a woman a second-class citizen. But on top of that, other people are going to lose their choice as well to do things. And I think that's the way this thing needs to be framed.
Okay, Tom. And, Tom, we're running out of time. Thank you very much for the call.
Thank you, Josh.
You want to respond?
Well, look, that's what this is about. It's about who is controlling the future of women's lives in Wisconsin. I believe that women should control the future of their lives. And unfortunately, there are politicians right now who, on the one hand, claim to be about protecting freedom, but on the other hand, want to take that decision away from women. And that's not right. It's not consistent with our values. And we're going to do what we can to fight to change that.
So we got 2 minutes. What do you want to say? Again, this battle that you and the governor have decided to wage, what do you want to say to the audience in the last couple minutes?
Well, what I want people to know is that there is hope here. I know that the last several days have been really tough for a lot of people and scary, concerning about what this holds for the future. And I know that people are worried about what this means for other rights as well that have been recognized by the Supreme Court. And what I can tell you is this. The governor and I are both deeply committed to fighting to protect reproductive freedom. And that means that right now, with the current situation we have, we're doing what we can to minimize the harm. I've been clear about not using DOJ resources to enforce this ban. The governor has been clear that he's willing to use his clemency power if need be. We're going to work with other states to figure out how we can most effectively protect access. And we're also going to fight to restore access, both through litigation and through legislation. And so we are going to fight this in the courts. We're going to continue calling on the legislature to make progress. And we're not going to back down until we have restored reproductive freedom.
And before you go, I'm looking at this article. Mississippi House Speaker wants 12-year-old rape victims of incest to give birth to their father's children. That's the insanity we're talking about, right?
It's become so extreme and so ideological on the far right that there's no limit to how far they're willing to take this, and we've got to turn this around.
All right. Thank you very much, Attorney General Josh Call. Really appreciate you taking the time out of your busy schedule to share with our listening audience. We'll talk soon.
Thanks for having me, Earl.
All right. Thank you. All right. We've got to go to a break. 844-967-2789 is the number. You're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. You know, I was, you know, just, you know, really so happy to have the state attorney general want to appear on our radio station and specifically my show to talk about, you know, this hot button issue that's taking place right now. And, you know, here's another part of just how crazy this really is, this whole thing. When you look at what I was getting ready to say, a Mississippi House Speaker wants 12-year-old rape victims of incest to give birth to their father's children. Think about that, Sam. They've been raped by their fathers, you know, their fathers, and some lunatic male thinks that they should go ahead and carry that child.
Even if it wasn't their father's like that raped them, like that's sick either way. That you're forcing someone to go through with that and have that permanent reminder from that incident forever.
Yeah. I mean, it's just, it's what we're dealing with. This Mississippi Republican Speaker of the House says there should be no exception to the state's ban on abortion now that the U.S. Supreme Court has struck down the 5-decade-old Roe versus Wade ruling. Asked specifically about 12-year-old girls who are victims of incest, Speaker Philip Gunn repeatedly stated his personal belief is life begins at conception. And so we're not talking about people's personal beliefs.
Literally. Right? I'm so sick of hearing that. Like, if you believe that, good for you, but don't put that on my body.
Well, I mean, okay, so, I mean, people have beliefs, but that's your belief.
Amen.
You and this is what's at the root of all the things that we're dealing with, I believe, where we can't separate this, where the Republicans figure they got all the answers. Who do we have on the line, Sam?
Gene from Eau Claire.
Hey, Gene, how you doing? Thank you very much for the call.
Hi. Good morning. I think we're looking at this, you know, people always look at pregnancy in a positive way, like, oh, we're going to have a baby, you know, and all the physical changes that a woman goes through, even though she knows how difficult it is and the different things she's dealing with. But, oh, you know, we're joyous about this. But when we look at it, when this is unplanned or forced pregnancy, we're dealing with all the physical changes that that woman has to go through, changes to her body, changes to her immune system, changes to every single thing in her life, economic, social, and psychological. And then you add to it forced pregnancy, rape, incest. Man, that's like really, you know, trauma to a woman or to a young girl to make a person go through a forced pregnancy. I think that that is so abusive and intolerable and just horrifying that the governments and the judges and those people in those states that are forcing pregnancy, unwanted pregnancy on people is just...
So, Gene, you know that what's at the root of it is politics. It's political. And so they could care less about the child. They could care less about the woman. They're concerned about making sure that they win politically. So anytime you hear Republicans and conservatives talking about, yeah, we really are concerned about the children, it's life we're concerned about, who are they talking about? If it really is life that they're concerned about, what about the living being, the mother? What about her life? Well, they say, well, we're talking about the child's life. But the quality of what happens to the life of this, in this situation, a 12-year-old child. And so you, what do you think the quality of her life is going to be if she's forced to go through that?
It's going to be horrifying for those kids. I've worked with kids that have been abused, and these people better think twice. You know, they're really sick.
Well,
so let's just get to it. They are.
Well, you know, they're not going to think twice. They've made this decision. They've waited for 50 years to overturn this. And they've been at it. And now they have victory now. And so they don't care about other people's lives. They really don't. And every time I hear a Republican say, it's the child's life I'm concerned about, I'm like, come on. Who are you talking to? We see you. We know what your policies are. And so, you know, it doesn't matter if you say we really care about the child. They really don't. But thank you very much, as always. Great comments. You just get to a point where you just believe and hope that these people will pay a price for that. This clown in Mississippi, you would think that with what he had to say, women would rise up in Mississippi and remove him from his elected position. he is worthy of being removed for being so insensitive. Well, that's my personal belief. Well, okay. Okay, so who gives a rip about your personal belief? You know, we have to come to a realization that one person's personal belief cannot supersede what is right and what is wrong for the masses of the people in the nation. And from his perspective, again, his perspective, he's talking about what's right. And I don't know, you know, Sam, I don't think he can understand what a woman feels, right?
I don't think so. I really don't.
You know, I don't think he can understand what the woman would go through, the psychology of all of those things. He's a man, right? And so I would not be so arrogant to say that I understand. Yeah, I've been married for over 40 years. You think I understand what's going through my wife's head? She's a woman. I'm a man. We're different.
Mm-hmm.
That's the way we've been created.
Mm-hmm.
So women think differently than men. The men don't think quite as deeply, especially about situations such as this. And as critically important as this time is, you can't afford to have foolish people like this man saying crazy things like he said. But he's not alone, right? We've got them in Madison. We've got them in the state. And yet, you know, you just hope that there's a price to be paid. For this kind of arrogance and foolishness. It's absolutely foolish, I think, when you look at his rationale for saying it. He never even gave it a second thought about what he was saying, you know. And I'm sure since this has made national news, there'll be microphones in his face, and his ignorance will continue to be pushed. This is one of those what they call watershed moments in history. And you heard from our state attorney general, as there are others, who made a decision that and our district attorney in the city of Milwaukee, and who have basically said, we're not going to spend one red cent in prosecuting people, not doctors, not mothers, for doing this. But the only thing is, you know, doctors aren't going to risk their practices and their licenses, rightfully so, in doing these abortions since they've been declared illegal. And then the fact that somebody's got to travel to Illinois. You know, I don't know what it costs, but there are people who don't have that money. Travel to Minnesota. And when you look at, you know, waiting in line, it may be months before somebody can actually get to see the doctor. Because of the fact that there's only a few states that are going to be left. So they're going to be waiting in line. The pregnancies are going to last longer. And in some instances, it'll get to the point where they can't then have the abortion. All of those things are on the table with this decision that has been overturned. And by right-wing conservatives on the Supreme Court. Make no mistake about it, right-wing conservatives on the Supreme Court that touts itself as not being either Democrat or Republican, independent of parties. It's what the Supreme Court is supposed to be. And I don't know if once this has happened and people have seen that, if anybody is ever going to trust or believe in the Supreme Court ever again, other than those on the right who know that since there's so many of them, a 6-3 majority, that the other side of that is ever going to believe in the Supreme Court again. There's a reason that there should be court packing, and it should happen now. Got to go to a break. 844-967-2789 is the number. You're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show. We'll be back. Show as always. You can join us at 844-967-2789. It's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. We've got Gary from Sussex on the line. Good morning, Gary. What's going on? You say what?
Hey, just hear me out, all right? And then they can start yelling at me.
Yelling at you? Come on, man.
Okay, we on the right on the abortion issue are as passionate about protecting the life of these little babies. Me, myself, I'm only speaking for myself now. I'm a Christian, and I do not want to face God someday and say, well, Lord, I know I should have been doing more to protect these babies. I'm just telling you for me. I'm not saying for you or anybody else. I'm saying for me, and this is why I'm so passionate about it. You have to understand. And I understand how people are with women's right to choose. I mean, I understand it. We're passionate on both sides, but we're neither one of us are idiots. And
stuff Gary, like that.
We just
Gary,
believe what we believe.
I know, but Gary, I have to say this. So you're a Christian. Fine.
Mm-hmm.
There are people who are Muslims, Buddhists, all sorts of other religions. Just because somebody says, I'm a Christian, does not mean that their religious beliefs are any more powerful or stronger than anyone else. But when every time I hear somebody say I'm a Christian, I cringe because people say they're Christian, and it's easy to say I'm a Christian, actions are what determines what somebody is.
Go ahead.
So when I hear you say, I'm a Christian, and so my beliefs, I wouldn't want to face God. You have nothing to do with the individual's rights of what they want to do. That's between them and their God. It has nothing to do. It has nothing to do with you and your God.
If you believe in the Bible and if you read
people don't
Jeremiah,
always believe in the Bible, man. There's many books.
But I'm speaking for myself. I can only speak for myself. I'm not talking about everybody else. But when it says in Jeremiah that God knew you before you were born, he planned all of these days out for good, I'm just telling you what it says in the Bible. And during the Operation Rescue back in the late 80s, I'm telling you, I was at every single clinic like every Saturday for 5 years, and I'm very passionate, and I'm speaking for myself, so you just have to understand that I understand how passionate everybody else is on your side, but we're just as passionate.
Hey, Gary, your passion.
Let Sam talk.
How are you going to tell
it's
me
Earl's show. He
the host of the show?
This
is what I mean by you guys, man. That's ridiculous.
You won't tell
a conservative talk show host what to do, but you tell me. Let me finish my point.
No, I'd never do that.
You just did, but you just did it to me. And let me say this to you. It doesn't matter what you think to somebody else in their life. That's their decision. Has nothing to do with you. And that's what's at the root of this. Somehow you guys think that you have the right to tell somebody else what they should be doing, and you don't. You aren't God.
You know what? I have two adopted children that were supposed to be aborted.
Hey, Gil.
I'm telling you, I would not have Jeremy.
That has nothing to do. That has nothing to do.
Yeah, it does.
With you trying to tell somebody else what they should do with their life. You have no right to that.
I asked them not to have an abortion. Please, we will adopt your baby. And they kept their baby for us.
Hey, Gary.
I'm just telling you.
Hey, Gary. I know, but that's you. You can't.
That's what I said.
You can't force that.
Me.
Yeah, but you can't force that on other people's lives.
Is church and state not supposed to be separate?
Is what? I'm sorry, Sam. What?
Is church and state not supposed to be separate?
Well, the fact is, church and state was not based on you can't have anything to do with God. No, it's they didn't want to have a state-run religion. That's what the separation of states.
No, that is not accurate at all.
No, it's not.
No, that's 100% accurate.
No, it is freedom
it's
of religion. Freedom of religion means you have the right to choose your religion, and one religion does not denominate the whole state. And I am 23, and I know
right.
that, Gary.
That's at the root of what she just said, Gary.
Christian people think
they have the right to put their religion and their belief of not aborting a baby onto me, even though I am not Catholic, and it is not the right of the Catholics to run the state government.
Or any government. That happens.
The separation of church and state was based by the Danburys of Baptist Danburys when they wanted to not to make sure that there was
Gary,
state religion. So
who
we
cares?
Freely,
who
like
cares?
Said,
who cares what the Baptists of Danbury or the Baptists of Utica, New York, or any? It doesn't matter. That's a separate group of people who do not represent everybody. And that's what this nation was built on, not having an individual or a group make unilateral decisions that impact and affect the freedoms of everybody else. Thank you for the call. Who do we have up next, Sam?
We have Bill from Oconomowoc on the line.
Hey, Bill, go ahead, sir.
Hey, you guys, just keep doing what you're doing. You're fighting for democracy. I'm a Christian. I don't believe in abortion. But I don't believe abortion needs to be legislated from the bench, especially our Supreme Court, with throwing out all these rulings and suddenly they're the legislators, they're not the court. But let's talk about abortion as an act itself. If these people are so concerned about that, two things have to happen. One, you got to eliminate the assault rifles because it's killing a lot of children. And you guys refuse to do that. You can't have your cake and eat it too. That's number one. Number two, on the border, you should welcome those children. No, you turn them away. They die in trailers on Governor Abbott's soil, and he points a finger at Biden. That's got to stop. If you want consistency, at least stay consistent. And here's the last thing. If you don't want to separate church and state, all right, then all churches have to lose their tax-free status. Do you want that also? See, they want part of the pie. They don't want all of the pie. They want a little commitment, not a lot of commitment. I am so upset with their ridiculous, ignorant arguments.
Bill,
they don't even hold water.
Bill, you are a prime example of a Christian who is not looking to force your beliefs on others. Okay, that's not what you do. And for any Christian or Muslim or Hindu or Buddhist who says, I'm going to force my religious beliefs on people, that's what separates this nation. That's what it's supposed to be about. And yet to hear Gary and others like him, well, my belief, that's your individual belief. And he says, well, the Bible says, well, listen, there are many different books, you know, and all of these different religions have their own books. And so you can't expect people who are from different religions to say, well, everybody's got to go according to my book. That's not the way the nation is founded. And it doesn't matter whether Gary says what he says or not. He's not accurate in what he's stating. Hey, Bill, thank you as always. Great comments. Have CJ hang on. We've got to go to a break. 844-967-2789. We'll be right back.